Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Polk Legal Show, a show where we talk to you about your personal injury claims, what you can do in the event you're injured. I'm Brad Pollock. Gary Bell's out of town. Rob Brovage is in the studio today with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happens once you have to go to litigation. I mean, when you're in litigation, what are the insurance company and defense lawyers' tactics? What will they use against you? What's going to happen now? We're talking about the stage after the settlement negotiations have gone on. We'll talk for a minute about that. But you're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We're personal injury lawyers. We do personal injury representation. If you've been hurt for any reason and that you believe it might be as a result of the negligence or caused by another person, you should come talk to us. You should get in contact with us so we can discuss with you a legal game plan. We can discuss with you what your legal rights are, what you can and can't do in your legal rights, and what you might want to do, how you want to put your case together. Rob, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Rob's been with our law firm how many years, Rob?
Oh, right around 15.
15 years. He's a practicing lawyer, has done a great job for us, works in both the personal injury and the work comp area. We'll be talking to you about work comp next week. This week, we're talking to you about what happens on a personal injury case. And you might be saying, well, what's the difference? Personal injury case and a work comp case. We'll talk about that a little bit. The personal injury case is where you've gotten hurt and you're not on the job. Work comp is where you've gotten hurt and you are on the job. And it's about the difference, whether you're on the job or not, and whether or not work comp is going to apply. If you have any questions, if you want to talk to any of us, you can call our law firm at 303-795-5900. We have a 24/7 answering service or people in the office that will answer your phone calls, get you to a lawyer if you have any questions. That's 303-795-5900, or you can get us on the internet, balpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We're an interactive website. You can ask questions, you can talk to somebody, or you can get access to our lawyers through the internet also. So you should feel free to contact us if you have any questions. Now, let's set the stage a little bit. You've gone through the negotiating process, and we've talked before about how the negotiating process is an art. You have to be able to understand what the negotiations are about and what you're doing. How you know if negotiations are exhausted. It can be a frustrating process. These things you see on TV from advertisers about knowing what your case is worth before you even get involved in the case, about settling your case fast. Yes, there's lawyers out there who will settle your case fast and make you think you've gotten something great, but the problem is they have not done their jobs. And they haven't done their jobs because they haven't made sure they've exhausted all of the different avenues of recovery, and they haven't made sure they know your total injury and what might be causing your injury.
Right. And, you know, we're talking about the point after a lawsuit is filed here, and you don't necessarily want in all situations your attorney to get you a fast and speedy recovery when you're leaving money on the table if your attorney would do their job and go through the appropriate steps in terms of investigating your claim, filing a lawsuit when it's necessary, and making sure they have a really, really good idea and a firm knowledge of what your injuries are and the full extent of your damages in your personal injury claim.
And what can happen now is if your attorney hasn't done his job, if he hasn't been working, he or she hasn't been working in the appropriate manner at the beginning stages of getting your case ripened to the point where an appropriate settlement or litigation can occur, you might find out that the settlement that might have been a good settlement, but nobody knew because it wasn't appropriately worked up, is now all of a sudden going to the problems with the settlement that made it less than what you thought it was worth are going to rear their ugly heads in litigation.
That's correct. So in a lot of situations, it can be beneficial for you to resolve your case prior to having filed a lawsuit. But certainly there are cases when the insurance carrier, for whatever reason, does not want to give you what you believe or what your attorney believes is the full value of your claim, in which situation a lawsuit needs to be filed. and the attorney on the other side is paid by the insurance company. They are going, and they get paid by the hour. They're going to do everything in their power to minimize your damages that you're claiming in your lawsuit and for your claims for personal injuries. And those can include a variety of things. Just going through discovery, which is a way that the attorneys investigate a claim, which includes sending out questions for you to answer under oath. And then they take what's called your deposition, which is basically your statement of how the crash occurred and what injuries and losses you sustained as a result of that crash. Now, that sounds simple and easy, but an attorney can ask questions in certain ways. Also, there are ways that attorney can get information out of you that may not be so beneficial to your case.
So here's the first thing that's going to happen. Hopefully, your case has been worked up appropriately. Hopefully, the time's been spent to find out when you're at maximum medical improvement. Hopefully, there's been some negotiations and some discussions between the attorney and the adjuster. Hopefully, the attorney understands where the adjuster thinks the weaknesses are in the case, so they have an idea why the amounts are being offered and what exactly is happening in the case. And the attorney spent the time necessary to get your case properly prepared. Now, all of a sudden, the case is being properly, hopefully, between the attorney, yourself, and everybody else, has been properly valued, or it's been valued in an amount, understanding both the weak parts that you have and the strengths of the insurance company.
In just about every situation, excuse me, your case is going to settle if you have a slam dunk, strong case, and it's easy for everyone to recognize the injuries and the damages in your particular case. It's the cases that don't settle that require a lawsuit to be filed, in which case the attorney on the other side is going to do everything in his and her power or her power to minimize your damages and losses in your case. And they'll seize on certain different things in different types of cases. For example, if there's any type of gap in treatment, for example, if you treat consistently for 4 months and then you think you're feeling better, or you have to tend to family, you have to tend to work, you have to tend to school, and you're unable to see your doctor for 2 to 3 months, they're going to be all over that gap in treatment, stating, well, you must have felt better, because anyone who's injured and doesn't feel great is going to be in the hospital and or seeing their healthcare provider or seeing a chiropractor to resolve their injuries and symptoms. And if you do have a gap in treatment, or if you wait from the time of the crash till the first time you go in to see a healthcare provider, if there's a gap in that period of time, they're going to seize that opportunity and present that to, well, not only the jury, but to the adjuster handling your case, and say, look, this case is not worth the full value because there are these huge gaps in treatment where this person should have been treating, although they say they had to tend to other obligations in their life. They should have been seeing a healthcare provider in order to resolve their symptoms. So let's not give them 100% value for the case.
So you file your complaint. They haven't given you the value you want, and the lawsuit gets filed. You serve the defendant. You have to go serve the person who caused the accident, who caused the injury, whether that be a car accident or some other slip and fall or something, the person or entity that you believe is responsible for the injury. And you're going to wait for an answer to the complaint to be filed by the defense attorney. The defense attorney is going to be hired by the insurance company, or will be an employee of the insurance company, but the jury will never know it. The jury is going to believe and be led to believe that this defense attorney is actually working for the defendant, for the at-fault person. That's one of the strategies that the insurance companies have tried to work in many, many states. There are some states that don't allow it, but in Colorado especially, they do allow, and it's required. You're not allowed to tell the jury that there's insurance. You're not allowed to tell the jury that the defense attorney is being paid by the insurance company. You're not allowed to tell the jury that the experts that have been hired are experts who work for the insurance companies on a regular basis, who hire out to them on a regular basis. They may say, well, I only work for this one attorney two times a year, or one time a year, or one time every couple of years, but they don't tell you how the insurance company has many, many lawyers, and this expert has worked many, many times for the different insurance companies. It's a tactic that's used. And Rob, the entire file is being transferred over.
That's right. So the entire file, once a lawsuit is filed, the adjuster has to hire an attorney, a licensed attorney in the state of Colorado, to file what's called an answer. And that's just a response to your lawsuit. And now the attorney has access to the entire file, will review the file, give his or her input to the adjuster, and basically, you know, have a session with the adjuster as to what they believe the value of the case may be. But there's going to be a lot of things that come into play here. The one that comes to mind right now, a big one, is if you don't have a lot of property damage to your vehicle as a result of the crash. For example, if your car withstood the crash, as vehicles are supposed to nowadays, there's been huge advancements in technology in terms of providing people a safety and ability to walk away from a crash. But in some instances, although your car may absorb part of the impact and there might not be a ton of property damage, you can still sustain an injury regardless of the speed of the vehicle that hit you. If you ask any healthcare provider worth their weight in salt, they'll tell you it does not matter how fast the vehicle was going that hit you. The occupant of the vehicle that was hit can still sustain an injury. But unfortunately, what the attorneys will do that work for insurance companies, they'll have a photograph as big as a wall and show the jury that there was very, very little property damage to the vehicle that was hit. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, people in their mind think no, very little or no property damage means very little or absolutely no injury. And that's what the insurance company attorney will do throughout the trial, is hold up that photograph of the damage or lack thereof to the vehicle that was impacted and harp to the jury, look it, there is no real damage to this vehicle, so there could be no real injury or damage to the occupant. And that is completely false. In fact, they'll go as far as to hire biomechanical engineers. And these people are basically the same people that insurance companies will use time and time and time again. These biomechanical engineers will tell you the vehicle that hit the vehicle that was impacted couldn't have been going more than 5, 10, 2 miles an hour. And so there could have been no injury to the occupants of that car. And these biomechanical engineers that do nothing but testify for insurance companies make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from these insurance companies. But it's often very difficult for us to tell the jury about that because we can't mention that there is insurance involved in any particular case.
You've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting, or if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi just east of Colorado Boulevard next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash browns, special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
What you see is what you get. What you don't hear is everything. Let's talk about silence, old-fashioned silence. What does silence have to do with injuries? I'm going to give you about 3 seconds of silence. Here you go. Silence is what you get just before a collision. Sometimes in accidents, fast turns to slow and noise turns to silence. Then the collision, then the injuries, then the life-changing event, then starts the battle with the insurance company. Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. At Bell & Pollock, we understand that those 3 seconds of silence can turn your life upside down. We know how devastating injuries can be. You may not be able to work. You have medical bills. You need treatment. Listen, don't get hurt twice. Once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. Talk to the lawyers who actually care about you, the injured victim. Bell & Pollock, Colorado's premier injury law firm. Our website is championsofthepeople.com or call us at 303-795-5900. One call, that's all.
Welcome back to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Rob Brovich in studio today, talking to you about defense strategies, the attacks and strategies the insurance company will use after the lawsuit has been started. And we're talking about a little bit about what the attorneys will do. And we talk about how if it's a minor impact, they're going to put the picture of the car up and they're going to say, that's all I really need to do. They're going to depend on the fact that they can make you believe, you, the jury, believe that you can't get hurt, that somebody can't get hurt in a minor impact case, and that it's not a significant injury. Now, they've already gotten the insurance company's file. They've already got everything in place as far as their experts, their doctors, the people they're going to use, knowing that you can't know, and the jury doesn't get to know that this is actually insurance company regulars who are working on these things and are providing the evidence and providing the testimony. Now they're going to, and they've gotten the story. They know what's been said. If prior there's been a statement given before the plaintiff's lawyers were involved, they've got all this information. Now they're going to send you some interrogatory. Those are questions. They're going to send you written discovery to get all the paperwork they can. And they're going to ask for quite a bit in that discovery, aren't they, Rob?
Yeah, they sure are. They're going to ask questions that maybe you feel a little bit uncomfortable answering. For example, they're going to look into your driving history. They're going to look into your criminal history. They're going to see what past injuries you've sustained, whether or not it's been in a car crash, whether it's been a slip and fall, or whether it was your own fault. Or for example, your body ages and you have certain pains and as you get older, and it may not be the result of any collision, crash, or accident. And they'll use that against you 100%. That is what they do. That's what they get paid to do for the insurance company, is to dive into your past, look into everything you've done, look to see where you've gotten treated, what parts of your body have you complained about in terms of having symptoms and in terms of any treatment you've received for that part of your body. For example, a lot of people like to go to chiropractors just for a tune-up, as they call it, just to get everything adjusted and to feel a lot better. And that adjustment will include usually adjustment to your back or neck. And the insurance carrier will request those records and say, look at jury, this person's had complications with their spine prior to this crash, or they wouldn't have seen a chiropractor. So you should hold that against them and not give them the full value of their case.
So they're going to get it. Now that they're asking for this, probably in a different way and more extensive than what the adjuster has, but the adjuster might already have this. They're going to try and get a bunch of information in written discovery that allows them to make you say your statement a second time or your story a second time. Because if they can find inconsistencies, now they're going to make you a liar. They know that they can do this. They know they're entitled to do this. And a lot of times they're going to ask for stuff they're not entitled to get. If your lawyer doesn't know better, your lawyer's going to give that up. Your lawyer shouldn't give that up. Then they're going to want to take a deposition. Rob, you alluded to a deposition earlier today. We're going to talk about, and in a deposition, they're going to sit you down and put you under oath and ask you questions. And a lot of times they're going to ask you the same things they've already learned, but they're going to see if you know what's in those records. Why do they want to do that, Rob?
Well, here's the situation is briefly what a deposition is. Your attorney will be present in the room with you. There'll be a court reporter taking down everything that's said. And then the attorney on the other side will ask you a series of questions. And what they want to do is to see if your answers match everything that you've put in the written answers to discovery, what you've told the adjuster, and what's been included in correspondence between the adjuster and the opposing attorney and your attorney in terms of what your injuries were, what your past includes in terms of prior car crashes, prior injuries. And what they'll do is if you don't repeat the answer exactly the same form, same fashion as you did prior to your deposition and written discovery, then they'll try to paint you out to be some kind of liar just because you may have forgotten a certain part of your medical history, a certain part of your criminal history, a part of prior injuries, damages that you sustained in maybe other slip and falls, or maybe it wasn't the cause of, or wasn't the result of any crash or incident. Maybe it was just the result of arthritis. So you're getting old, but if you don't recall each medical visit, they'll try to use that against you and paint you out to be some kind of liar or fraud.
Now, what they'll have been doing during the intervening time is if they can find you on Facebook, if they can find you on social media, they're going to have this information. Now, we've got a lot of ethics opinions that are coming out recently. This is a relatively new area for law. The law always tries to change to adapt to what society has put together. And society has started with Facebook and social media and where people correspond and communicate with friends and likes. And they'll try, a lot of them will try to like you or friend you. And a lot of people friend and like people they don't really know. Or they'll try and like or friend a friend of yours to try and get information about you. We're starting to get opinions that says that's unethical, but they'll still try and do it to learn about you and to see what you're doing, to get photos of you, to get pictures of you in activities, to get things that you're doing so they can use it at trial and they can use it with respect to the depositions. And Rob, you know, they'll also be surveilling you.
That's correct. You know, they'll do anything in their power to convince anyone on that jury that you're not injured. So let's say you're playing with your children and you have a smile on your face. Well, what they'll say to the jury, look, this person seems to be having a great time. Doesn't seem like they've sustained any injuries. They don't have any symptoms in this, and it would seem in this photograph, they have a big smile on their face. They're playing with their children. They're lifting their children. They're swimming with their children. Whatever they can use against you, they will. And for whatever reason, as soon as jurors believe that this person, the injured individual, went on some sort of vacation, let's say it is, to Florida, to California, to Mexico, where they were able to move around a little bit and engage in some kind of activity, whether it be walking on the beach, in the water, etc. They'll use that against them and show the jury, look, it doesn't appear that this person is injured. They're having a good time with their children. They're able to go on vacation. They were able to sit in a plane seat for 3 hours or more. They were able to navigate their way through an airport. Well, what they don't know is that you're not complaining of the pain because you just want to spend time with your family. You want to do the one thing that's really, really important to you, spend time with your family, and you don't want to sit around and be the one complaining and ruining everyone's vacation. But what they'll do is use that against you and say, look, this person cannot be that injured. And they'll do the same thing with respect to surveillance photographs or any kind of recording that they take of you or your family or you just having any sort of moment in your life, whether it's a good day, whether you're on medication, some moment in your life where it doesn't appear that you're in a great deal of pain.
Now they're gonna have certain things set up, and you have to understand it. Defense attorneys understand that once they put all this into a pile, into a big circle, and they're gonna present it to a jury, they can spend the 3 or 4 days that a jury trial is going on. It's a year after you file the complaint. They have a jury in there, and in 3 or 4 days, you're going to have things coming at the jury right and left in all sorts of fashions with all sorts of arguments, all sorts of interruptions, times going up to the bench, times discussing stuff, and the defense attorney then recognizing the thing we talk about quite often, that people quite often will forget what they hear. You have to hear it a couple of times to remember it. Recognizing that, they're going to stand up at the end of the case and they're going to take the story they want to give you from their experts who are regular insurance company experts, and they're going to tell you a story that may not be true. They're relying on the fact that you're not going to remember this. You're not going to remember everything that happened. You're going to remember this was an issue. And on top of it, they are using a common perception that's gone on with insurance companies forever, that insurance companies have convinced the public that to bring a lawsuit, you're a bad person.
That's right. And when we walk into the courtroom, we're told by groups that have done these studies that the first person the jury is upset with is the person who brought the lawsuit or their attorney who's actually in the jury's mind promoting this lawsuit and basically representing this person to go forward. But at the same time, the jury automatically believes that we're wasting their time because they shouldn't have to deal with this person bringing this lawsuit for injuries and damages, because this sort of thing happens every day and not everyone does bring a lawsuit. So there's certain perceived notions in a lot of jurors' mind that are patently against bringing a lawsuit, and they automatically believe that the person shouldn't be entitled to money for injury as a result of a car crash. In a typical case, if you can imagine, if you're sitting on a jury and you're thinking about a million other things, your job, your family, extracurricular things you want to do and get home and get to your family, they're going to have a photograph of the opposing attorney is going to have a photograph of the limited damage to the vehicle. They're going to have photographs of the injured person on vacation and seemingly having a good time, big smile on their face. They're enjoying time with their family. And that's going to be difficult for a typical juror to overcome. And they're probably going to have somewhere in the records where the injured party forgot that they received some kind of chiropractic or other kind of treatment to their spine, in which case the insurance attorney is going to create a portrait of the injured party as being some kind of liar or fraud for bringing claims against this person. And these claims should have never been brought. And in any other situation, the injured party should recover nothing.
You've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here to talk to you about your personal injury claims. We're personal injury lawyers. We're happy to represent you if you've been hurt in an accident. Come call us. Talk to us. Let's put together your legal game plan for you. You can call us at 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Or you can reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. This is such an important topic that you need to know, that we're going to put together, and we're going to post on our website within the next few weeks at bellpollock.com. We'll put together a post or a section in there of what the insurance company tactics are and things the jury does not get to know at trial. And we're going to post that. This is probably going to be maybe 7 to 10 specific items and things that you need to know about. These are going to be important topics. So feel free to contact us. Take a look at our website. And remember, if you've been hurt, call us. We're happy to represent you and put together a legal game plan. Till next week, y'all stay safe, and we'll see you next week.